Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. One of my favorite chapters. These are just astounding, glorious verses. He said, "Not as though the word of God had taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." That's as plain an explanation as I can say for the people on this earth. The children of the flesh are not counted for the seed of God. Only the children of God, the children of the promise, are counted for the seed. So I'd ask the obvious question, are you a child of the promise or are you a child of the flesh? Only the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And this is God's eternal election. One's either a Jacob or one's an Esau. So it's as simple as that. They both came from the same womb. They were twins. And that nature will always be born out in this life. I see today that with these whatever it is, plague or disease or flu, that I see the people that want to live at all costs. I mean, you can just see it. You can see the fear in their eyes. You because that's all you can see. They wear these masks and such, you see. And I've come to know that a man will sell his birthright to live, just like Esau. He'll sell his... That's what Esau did. He sold his birthright for a bowl of lentils to live. He was starving. And that seed is the key. Whatever that seed is, whatever a seed is, that's what comes up, that's what grows, and that's what becomes whatever it is that seed was. And if it's elect, it'll grow and it'll bear spiritual fruit because it's of God. And those that are counted for the seed are in His image. I liken the new birth to rain. And God's rain's special. Rain is much, much different than the water that you get from the tap. When you go to water a plant or any other thing, the rainwater from heaven is a different water. And on the right seed, it produces exactly what it's intended to bear. It's phenomenal. You get rain and everything just... A desert will bloom. You can bloom a desert in the rain. I've seen pictures of the Sahara Desert covered in flowers because of a rain. They die off and returns to sand, but it just blooms. I don't know how long those spores of those seeds have been there, you see. So God's Spirit is always likened to rain. And we must always remember also, of course, that it rains on the just, the Bible says, as well as the unjust. It actually rained on Esau as well as it rained on Jacob, you see. And when it rained on Saul, when the Spirit of God came down on King Saul, the prophet said, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" You see? So that Spirit's on all. That Spirit. And that's how we get religious folks. Because they get a taste of the Spirit. They get the rain. They get the same rain you and I do. But they're children of the flesh. They are not counted for the seed. Many who came through the midst, Brother James, when he had his church, and even in our own midst. Man, we've had some folks come through that were not children, were not counted for the seed, and they knew all doctrine. They perhaps knew more doctrine than some of those that were counted for the seed, you see. But they weren't all of the promise. They were of the flesh. Turn a few pages over to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 22 and verse 23. He said, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons." That's who we're talking about. We're talking about Isaac's sons, but now we're going to talk about Abraham, his dad's sons. "That Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondman bondmaid, excuse me, and the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born what?
After the flesh.
After the flesh. But he of the free woman was born of what?
Promise.
Two seeds. One of the flesh, one of the promise. Those truly born again in Christ, they know these things. You just supernaturally know to whom you belong. You turn over a few pages from Galatians to Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. And he said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And these words, they never cease to move me. When I read that, it's just an astonishing thing to me. The fact that I was chosen. And there's no pride involved in that thing, in any sense. But there's a deep sense of humility and gratefulness and grace. That God chose me before the foundation of the earth. I didn't choose me, you see. You see, without election, without the doctrine of election, without God's sovereign election, one would have to believe that they were alive with some good in them. There would have to be. Or they couldn't choose God, you see. But those not born again, they can't just, they're not just sick. And that's the fallacy in a lot of the doctrine today in what we might call Arminianism or easy believism. And they've always used that. Man, I grew up in churches, not as a boy, but in my religious walk. And they use the illustration, you know, the medicine sitting there, and they have Christ sitting there. He's the medicine. All you got to do is reach over and take this medicine and everything will be good. The problem is the patient's not sick. The patient is dead. You look at Ephesians chapter 2, you're there in the book of Ephesians, verse 1. And you at the quickened who were what? Not sick, but dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, not sick, dead, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. To testify that one chooses God is an arrogance of the highest multitude. That one chooses God. I'm sure God would be very glad that I decided to choose him. Do you see? Do you understand? Isaac wasn't even in the womb when he was chosen for the seed. You remember the account? Wasn't even in the womb. Jacob and Esau were in the womb, Bible says, having done neither good nor evil. And yet God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God's sovereign election. And that's why covenants, I spoke with Brother Robert about this yesterday. That's why covenants, works, and law, none of these things can save a man. They can make him religious, but they can't save him. That's why you don't have, listen, you don't have to tell those that are counted for the seed, once they're born again in the Spirit of God, you don't have to tell them how to live. If you do, there's a problem. They're probably children of the flesh, you see. Now, these things can make you religious, but they can't save you. And all things are manifest. In a man's life, it is revealed somewhere if he be a child of the flesh or a child of the promise. You remember these twins, Jacob and Esau. They struggled in Rebekah's womb. Do you remember? And they were twins. From the womb, there was strife. And there always will be strife between the children that are counted for the seed and the children of the flesh. I saw in my own dad, my own earthly father, It was revealed in the very last waning hours, the last 24 hours of his life, that alas, he was counted for the seed. He was a child of the promise. But it came, you see, it came. The thief on the cross, he was chosen in his dying breath. Was he not, you see? God always gets his man. I've got easy proof of that. Me, you see. He pulled me out of the fire. He pulled me out of sin. Now listen, I didn't come willingly. Like, you know, babes don't come willingly from the womb. They want to stay in that womb, you see. I was reading an article this morning on the news about the reason they do these C-sections. And they have a name for it, a posh delivery, because the women no longer want to endure the hardship of giving birth. Because it's a hardship. It's pain. There's pain involved. And they have to push, and they have to push, and they have to push, and they don't want that. Well, we just cut him out, you see. And that's what happens in religion. Well, we don't want to have to do that, so we'll just cut him out. We'll vote him into the church. We'll tell him he's born again, and down the road they go, you see, like a babe from the womb. Now, you know, Jacob came out on Esau's heel. And but for the hand of God's grace, we'd all be damned. It's God's grace alone that saves. Not my choice. It's God's sovereign election. When the Lord destroyed Sodom, that great city, and Abraham, he bargained with God, and he finally got down. He said, "If there's just ten righteous there, just 10." And I got to thinking about that thing, and I thought, you know, I'm not sure I can think of 10 righteous. Now you stop sometime. Maybe try to think of, make you a list of 10 righteous that you know. I'm talking about those that are counted for the seed. Wow. And even Lot himself, he had to be drug out. They grabbed his hand and they drug him out of Sodom. In reality, God showed me, we're all as Lot. We all must be drug out of Sodom. We all must be drug out of sin. We don't come willingly, just like a babe being born. He doesn't come willingly. He's got to be pushed out by that mother. Of course, like I say, now they just cut him out. Did Saul of Tarsus come willingly? No. Did he come willingly on that road to Damascus? No. The apostles, did they come willingly? No. Christ chose them, you see. And I believe that if you'll really examine your life, your witness, your testimony, you'll look back and you'll see that the hand of Christ was there, just like that angel dragging Lot out of Sodom. If you be counted for the seed. Now I can now look back long before church profession. I see things in my life so differently now. In truth, am I not as Lot? I certainly cast my lot in Sodom, given the choice of the plains before me. I took the city, man. I took Sodom. As the colored boy said, when he got saved, he said, I did my part and God did his part. And he said, my part was the sinning and God's part was the saving. Well, I've got news for you. That's exactly what happened. You might say it's what happened to Lot. You might say it's what happened to Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. How can good people be saved if there's none good? You see. For all have sinned. All. The rhetorical question. How many sins does it take to go to hell? What? I'm conceived in sin. I'm born in it. So there you go, you see. The interesting thing here is, how many hearing my voice, or that will hear this message, I don't know who will hear it, are counted for the seed. Now, I know that religiously we all have thoughts. We all do. But to whom do you belong? If you look there, if you're still in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 2 and verse 3. He said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, now look, we all had our conversation in times past. It's amazing to me how people can think, oh, I was always good, you know. But we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that's every one of us, if you can admit to such, you see. And such is the contrast. It's as bold a contrast as from death to life, or darkness to light. And if you've ever had that, if you've ever experienced that birth, that difference, then you'll know of what I speak, you see. If you're counted for the seed. In truth, if we hear the word and come, we're really just coming home, you see, to our kind, to our tribe, to our Lord, to our people. That's what we're doing. We're coming to our people, those that are counted for the seed. You see, my people are God's people, and they don't all share my last name nor my blood type. God said, if my people, well, are you? I mean, you're either Jacob or Esau. You're either a child of the flesh or a child of the seed. In the strictest sense, isn't that how a man is lost? Doesn't he sell his birthright? Just like Esau. His life in this world, his will to live in this world at all costs. He'll give anything for it. And God's showing that to us today. They'll give anything. You know, I preached them years and years ago when all those people I saw in the hospitals, boy, they sure wanted to live. Boy, they sure did want to live. Man, they've got tubes and needles and vials, and boy, they sure want to live. Man, anything at all, they pick up the phone and call the ambulance. Boy, they sure want to live. Call the doctor. Man, the baby's crying. Call the doctor. Oh, the baby's got fever. Call the doctor. Grandma, call the doctor. We didn't do that when I grew up. We very seldom did that. There were a lot of things we tried before we ever called a doctor. You see, they sure want to live. I'll end with this. There's some things I told Brother Robert yesterday. Some things in life that crossed my path that I just simply will not forget. I forget all sorts of things. But I watched it was clean, they didn't have any bad words in it. And I watched a documentary this week on a country singer named Luke Bryan out of Georgia. I'd heard the name, didn't know anything about his music, and to tell you the truth, I don't care for his music. I like him, I didn't care for his music. But he had suffered some tragedy in his life. He lost his brother. And then he lost his sister. And then he lost his brother-in-law. And you know what that man said? They said, how do you deal with that? And he said, it's all in the plan. This country singer, this boy from Georgia, Leesburg, Georgia, he said, he had enough sense to know It's all in the plan. Now, can you know that? If you lose a child, you lose a father, you lose a mother, you lose a brother, you lose a sister, can you have that much sense to know? I'm not talking about the grief. It's all in the plan. It's in the plan. I'm not worried about masks. I'm not worried about vaccinations. I'm not being ignorant. I'm not being stupid about it. But the plan belongs to God. From before the womb, from before the foundation of the earth, from the womb, and beyond the womb, and past death, and through the valley of death. It's God's plan. And I, sir, am counted for the seed. Somehow, I'm counted for the seed. Life, death, tragedy, I've suffered these things. But I'm counted for the seed. Be gloriously happy. Easy to rejoice. And again, I say, counted for the seed. David lost his babe. And he cleaned himself up. He got off the floor and got him something to eat. Cleaned up. He said, the baby's sick. You're down there in sackcloth and ashes. And now he said, yeah, I'll see him again. I'll see him again. It's in the plan. It's in the plan. So I hope you'll remember, I am certain that everyone knows whether or not they're counted for the seed. You have to. It'd be an impossibility not to. If you ever get drug out of Sodom, you'll know it. If you ever meet the Lord on the road to Damascus, you'll know it. Are you counted for the seed?